Welcome to Prosecco and Prose.
This episode's bubbly is Capisaldo Prosecco.
This episode's prose is Book Lovers by Emily Henry.
Now remember how Nora chose her books?
I do, and it drove me crazy. I mean, how are you going to read the last page of a book first and then use that to decide whether you're going to read the whole thing or not? I could never. Please tell me you don't do that.
I don't.
Okay, good.
Phew. I read the whole last chapter.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you can't get enough information from just the last page. I can't.
I'm going to need more Prosecco for this. And I actually remember you saying that. I do. I just keep trying to forget. I just keep trying to block that out. You do know they have blurbs on book covers, right?
Oh, I read those too.
Okay, and so where in this process do you then decide to read the last chapter? Because my sister also reads the whole last chapter to decide if she wants to read the book, and she seems mostly normal, but now I'm looking at you both with a little bit of side eye.
Oh, so, you know, I'm always first drawn in by the cover. Always. I mean, you see a good cover.
Okay, good. So you're off to a good start. Yeah,
especially when I'm in a bookstore.
I know, and they have too many good covers there.
And the smells and everything.
It's the best.
So then I take the book off the shelf very gently, open it up, and then I read the cover blurb.
You're doing really good right now.
You know, sometimes they're on the back if it's a paperback, but on the side, you know. And then if I'm still interested, then I read the last chapter.
And that's where you go wrong.
Yes. Well, I don't think it's wrong. I mean, for me, life's just too short to waste on bad books, even if you're not afraid to DNF them, like some people I know.
Are you pointing at me?
Have you ever DNF'd a book?
Not that I can remember.
Then I might be pointing at you.
Jeez.
Now, I also love, like, Instagram recs. I'm always searching on Instagram recommendations, too. And if I see a book all over Instagram, I research it out, then go to the bookstore, and then read the last chapter if I've got time. So what's your foolproof method for picking out books, Wendy?
I look at the cover, I read the blurb, and then I read the first few pages or first chapter. Like, you know, the part at the beginning of the book? You know that part?
Yeah.
I'm not some psycho that goes straight to the end.
Well, I already know three people who start from the back. We've got Nora.
She's a fictional character.
Well, we have your sister, myself. I actually know other people that read the whole last chapter.
You know some strange people.
Yeah, absolutely. So even without them, Nora, you're outnumbered.
Whatever. I refuse to read the back page, the last chapter, the third from the last chapter, anything not in order. It's not right.
It's right for some of us. And I'm pretty sure you've read and loved some of the books I've picked out. So
I have. And you some of mine. Mm-hmm. So however you're picking out your books, guys, as long as you're picking, I think we can call that a win.
I agree. Welcome to an episode of Prosecco and Prose. I'm Amy.
And I'm Wendy. This is a very literary podcast.
What? This is not a very literary podcast.
Okay, true. But we are doing a public service.
Public service for what?
We're helping people find a perfect pairing for their prose.
Oh, you're right. That is a public service.
Mm-hmm. Just one word of caution. If you're listening in the car...
Is this where we're supposed to come in and tell them not to drink and drive?
It is. Fellow book friends, save the bubbly for later.
So today we have this Capisaldo Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
The teal on the label was such a perfect match for the teal book cover.
It's beautiful.
That it was an obvious pairing for us.
We do like things to be aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, we may not agree on how to pick a book, but we come to a pretty quick agreement when we're doing our pairings.
The important stuff.
Yes.
Now, Capisaldo means benchmark. Capisaldo wines are considered a benchmark for quality in Italian winemaking. And I also saw the word iconic on their website a lot.
I guess we'll be finding out if this Prosecco is iconic then.
I guess we will.
Mm.
Now, for the Capisaldo wine, they also make Chianti, Pinot Grigio, and not one of our favorites, Moscato. No offense to anyone who likes Moscato. Everyone can have their own picks. And the fruit for each wine is hand-picked. Now, for all the white wines they make, which would include Prosecco, of course, the whites are vinified using an ultra-cold process with no added sulfites. You got that?
Yes, I love that.
Basically, they make the white wine using a really cold process and don't add any additional preservatives. And the colder it's fermented, I learned this, the more fruity and floral the wine.
Is it considered organic then?
It's not. I don't know. Why don't you check the label? Yeah,
we'll have
check
to the do label. Some more research yeah. and see.
But fermenting at that colder level also has something to do with alcohol levels. But even after multiple readings, I couldn't wrap my head around that. I don't know if it's more alcohol or less or whatever. But I did learn that Caposaldo wines is the benchmark in this area of cold, this ultra cold process.
So this Prosecco should actually be really good then.
I think it should be. I mean, I've got high expectations.
Oh, I always have high expectations.
We always go
We just get shot down most of the time. But let's go ahead and go to our tasting and see if we're iconic enough to notice.
That's a pretty big test for us.
Yes.
Now, from our pretty label, it's a DOC, a Brut, which means it's dry, and that's what you'll find most often with a bubbly, as it's the most popular. It's 11% alcohol, so we're back down, about $13, and it's rated a 3.7 on Vivino.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
No.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I've got hope for this iconic wine.
I know.
So, and I'm just looking at the label, and it actually gives us some information on the grapes. It says it's an 85% Glera grape, which must be the predominant grape, if you want to call it Prosecco.
That's right. We learned that way back in the beginning, didn't we?
Way back in the beginning.
Way back. Right. Years ago.
So then it says flavor. It says it's crisp, clean, bright acidity that cleanses the palate and refreshes the mouth, full of citrus fruits, ripe lemon, and apple.
Hmm.
And then there's another section that says pairing. It says it's best enjoyed on its own. When pairing with food, best served with strawberries, blueberries, melon, or simple desserts.
Well, we're following the directions on this one because not only we're going to have it on its own, but we also made corn lime cookies for the book. You'll want to check out that reel. And that, we've got the lime, so we have the citrus, and it's a very simple dessert.
I cannot wait to try it together.
But I don't think I've really had a Prosecco that suggested a lot of pairing with fruit. That, you know, it was always an aperitif with like meats and cheeses.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember that?
Maybe the rosés.
Yeah, maybe the rosés.
Yeah, but we paired those with chocolates.
Ugh, dark chocolate. That was so yum.
It was really good. Now, I can really see the strawberry. I mean, you know how people put a strawberry in champagne. And I've even seen them sometimes put the little blueberries in and they pop up and down and stuff. But, you know, but that's like at a fancy place.
Fancy.
And I'm not overly fancy. But I am curious about the other fruits.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just not iconic enough.
That's probably true. But I'm always up for trying.
I am too.
For today, though, this Caposaldo is on its own and with a little cookie, as it was intended.
All right. Let's get this bad boy poured.
Let's get it poured.
Uncorked it.
Yeah.
I got a little something going on with my elbow, so I don't want to uncork it while we're
We don't want to explode again.
It might take a while.
So there is hardly any Perlage. The bubbles foamed up, but then they completely disappeared, and I don't see one, okay, maybe two bubbles in my glass. Do you have any bubbles? I have a tiny little stream on side of the wall.
I've got a lot of bubbles in there.
Well,
maybe they'll go away, though. I think they're starting to dissipate a little bit.
You do have, that's so strange.
You've got a dirty glass again. Maybe Joshy licked it.
Joshy. Now, the color, this is a much more of a straw.
It is.
Yellow.
You put it behind
color.
The white.
It's yellow, though.
There's a tinge of yellow in there. Yep. Very straw. Yeah.
All right.
Let me smell this bad boy.
Oh, I smell citrus. It actually smells really good.
Oh, it smells like when we were baking the cookies.
It does. It smells good.
Yeah.
And there's like a little hint of yeast on the backside, don't you think?
Yes. Not as bad as the last one.
No.
Not that yeast is bad.
Not that we do like yeast.
Listen to me talking down yeast. I love yeast.
All right.
Okay.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
Let's give it a try. That's lemony.
It's very, very citrusy.
Yeah.
Lemon or lime. I can't tell.
I get lemony. I don't really get any. Actually, I do get a little bit of apple. Just a little bit. You know how when you cut an apple and you soak it in the lemon juice so it doesn't? Mm-hmm. That's what this tastes like to me.
Are you getting any vanilla?
I am.
On the tip of your tongue?
Yes.
Ooh. This may go really well with a cookie.
I want to try it.
Yeah.
Do you want to try it?
We have one cookie, and what time is it? It's 9:30 in the morning.
One cookie and Prosecco.
I was going to fast till 1 today. Good riddance, faster.
Mm. Those cookies are delicious.
They are. They're really good.
Now, full disclosure, guys, we did try them while we were baking them, so we already knew they were good.
They're really good with the Prosecco.
They're excellent.
Yep.
It's a little bit fizzy. It's light. Like they said, it's crisp. I'm liking this Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be the cookie. Yeah, if you guys want to see our first taste on the corn lime cookie, check out our reel. But the cookies are good.
I love them with the Prosecco.
They are delicious with the Prosecco.
Well, I mean, it's just, like you said, there's kind of a gentle fizz when you're eating it with that cookie. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after our first few sips, what do you think? Do you think this Prosecco is iconic?
Actually, it's probably the best one we've had
so far
this season.
I agree. All right, let's get to our author. And she definitely might be iconic.
So, the Emily Henry. She's a popular author, especially with young adults, right?
Yes.
So I've seen her all over Instagram. Anyway, she's published 9 books, 4 young adult and 5 adult romances. She actually just published her 9th book last month.
Yes, she did.
She's a New York Times best-selling author. We love those.
Yep.
Kirkus Reviews named Book Lovers one of the best romance novels of 2022.
That kind of sounds iconic. We picked a good one to go with her.
Yeah. Now, Book Lovers was also picked up for a film adaptation. So now we're four for four for this season. The book to screen adaptations. Yeah.
I so loved the first 3 books this season. I mean, loved them.
I did. I did too. Yes.
But honestly, even as much as I love them, I'm not super interested in watching the screen adaptations, except for The Maid, maybe, because I just want to see Molly. I love her. But I would want to watch this one. I just feel like this would be a fun movie. The setting would be great. And if there's a genre of movies I love, it's rom-coms. So yeah, I might actually watch this one. I'll be curious to see the cast. Would you watch it?
I love the North Carolina area. When Joshy was stationed there, it used to be Fort Bragg. Is it Liberty?
Fort Liberty, I think.
Liberty now. So we took a trip to Asheville.
Beautiful.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. So I definitely remember that area, and I loved it so much. But for me, I'm kind of thinking that this movie is going to be like a Hallmark.
It did even play it like that in the book, so yeah.
Yeah, so Hallmark. I'm not into Hallmark movies.
I like some cheesy stuff, but yeah, I had an aunt and uncle that lived in Asheville, and it's a beautiful area, Yeah. Now, I found some fun facts about our author.
Ooh,
you like fun facts, don't you? She actually started out writing fantasy, and that's what her young adult books are. They're fantasy. And she doesn't like questions about her favorite book or books because she finds it impossible to narrow down.
I can totally agree with her on that. I mean, there are so many good books out there. You know, I do have favorites. But there are a lot. I have a lot of favorites.
It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah. And they're favorites for different times and different reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I know you don't reread for the most part. I mean, you've had to a couple times.
Right.
But, I mean, they can also hit different for me on a reread.
Mm.
You know, I reread stuff all the time.
I know,
especially
you do.
For the podcast, because I always find something new.
I find that a lot of people actually reread, and I don't.
Yeah. Well, you just want to get that to that million book report, you know, by the time you die.
Maybe I do. I don't know.
But you might love it on a first read and not so much on a reread and vice versa. So you don't really, though, reread.
No.
I mean, just I don't want our listeners to think that you always are rereading. Sometimes we have to for the podcast.
Right. But no, I generally don't.
Yeah.
I could probably count on one hand the times I've reread a book, honestly. And even though I don't do that, I can see that happening, like, you know, it changing.
But
with
don't you find new things every time you've had to?
Yeah, of course. I mean, but I agree with her on how hard it is to pick a favorite book. I mean, for me, I'm sure some people can. Some people, I've talked to people and they're like, oh yeah, this is the best book I've ever read. But I could give you a top 10 list. Yeah, that might be an easier list to make.
Yeah.
It's so hard to pick a favorite for me.
Oh, yeah.
I have too many favorites. Anyway, Emily Henry says she's addicted to writing about writers, so many of her books have characters who are writers.
I've always heard you should write about what you know and what you love.
Yeah. And I thought this was interesting. She wrote Book Lovers during the pandemic.
She wrote a book, we started a podcast, and now we're talking about her pandemic book on our pandemic podcast. Feels a bit like a full circle moment.
It kind of does. I love it.
So Henry got her writing career started early. You are going to love this fun fact. We're always required to find our own fun facts. So this is the one that really kind of spoke to me. So the first story she remembers writing about was a submarine driving toad who discovers an underwater city.
Interesting.
Sounds a little controversial. You
probably
know?
Could be.
I mean, she was in the 3rd grade at the time, and she remembered that most of the kids wrote just like a few sentences, 1, 2, 3 sentences. And that's pretty age and stage.
Yeah, I taught 3rd grade. That sounds About right.
Well, you might call Henry a bit of an overachiever. She might be a Wendy.
I don't know about
that. She wrote 27 pages.
27 pages? Mm-hmm. That's some toad.
Oh, it gets better. She said better? That while she was reading it aloud to her group, several kids fell asleep.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
She said, and I'll read her quote, "That's how you know you've made it, when you're here snoring."
Well, at least she didn't let it deter her.
I think it motivated her.
I think you're right, because I most definitely did not fall asleep reading this book. Shall we summarize?
We shall. Now, I know we say this every time, but just in case you're a new listener, first, welcome.
Welcome.
We're glad you're here. And second, we don't do spoiler-free summaries.
No, nope. We just don't.
Sometimes, I mean, we've actually had some feedback that makes people want to read the books too.
Yeah,
you right. Know, people who like read the last chapter.
And some people who don't read the book and are glad because they just want to listen and know what right. It's going on.
So guys, there's going to be a few spoilers.
And they'll either be here in the discussion, but they'll be there.
They'll be there, yep.
Yeah. If you haven't read and don't like that, just come back whenever you've read and you're ready.
You won't miss a thing.
Not yeah, even yeah, one
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. You won't miss a thing, right?
Not a thing.
Okay. So Book Lovers opens with a prologue. We always love a prologue.
I know.
We say that every time. Every book opens with it. Not every book.
No.
But most of our books open with a prologue. The ones we pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had one this season not open with a prologue.
Which one?
Lessons in Chemistry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me take that back. Well, anyways, in the prologue, we meet Nora. She's a city girl. She's a literary agent. In romance novels, she's the one who gets dumped.
Yep.
And she is, in fact, getting dumped on her way to meet Charlie Lastra. He's been recently promoted to executive editor, and Nora's hoping he'll take on editing one of her oldest client's new manuscripts. But she's barely sat down, and he's already rejected it.
Yeah.
I mean, he says it's unreadable and that the setting is completely unrealistic. Needless to say, it didn't go well.
Not well at all. 2 years later, the author Dusty Fielding and her rejected book are a huge success, and she's working on another one. Nora's been dumped. Again, and her younger sister, Libby, quite pregnant, asked Nora to take a trip with her to Sunshine Falls, the setting of Dusty's best-selling book. Libby's a huge fan. Libby makes a whole list of things she wants the sisters to do on their month-long holiday, and they set off for Sunshine Falls.
So in Sunshine Falls, Nora quickly realized Dusty's romanticized book version of the small town and then the real-life version of Sunshine Falls are not the same.
Not.
And then she runs into Charlie Lastra. Wow.
Well, of course.
She sees him and then actually runs away.
Yeah.
But then she starts texting him and the texts get kind of flirty.
Kind of fast.
Yeah, they were. So she also learns that Charlie is from Sunshine Falls and he's in town helping out his family. They own a bookstore so his mother can take care of his father who had a stroke.
And
I think it was a stroke, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this explains why he found Dusty's setting completely unrealistic, like mm-hmm. He knows the town. We learn a bit about Nora and Libby's young relationship, how their mother died, and Nora was left to take care of her sister. They've always been close, but lately it's felt like they've lost a bit of that, and Nora's hoping this trip will bring them closer.
When Dusty sends her new manuscript to Nora, Nora realizes the main character is very similar to herself. And is not so flattering.
Not so.
Yeah. She runs into Charlie at the local bar, Papa Squat.
Papa Squat like we did in boot camp today.
Yeah, Elaine just took us through a hellish workout.
It was rough.
But anyway, she shows him, Nora shows Charlie the first few chapters. Charlie tells her he wants to edit it.
Meanwhile, Libby's being quite secretive when she's not making sure she and Nora are checking things off their Sunshine Falls list. And Nora's worried that Libby and her husband are having problems.
Nora and Charlie end up working on Dusty's manuscript together and sparks are definitely flying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But they don't want to compromise their working relationship, so they keep things strictly business. Yeah, right.
Yeah. One of Libby's list items was for Nora to go on a couple dates, which she does, one with Boring Blake and one with Handsome Shepherd. That only makes her realize how attracted to Charlie she is.
So she decides to tell him that she wants to have a relationship with him, that maybe they can make it work out. And that's when Charlie tells her he's staying in Sunshine Falls to help care for his father and the bookstore. He's not going back to New York. So they decide to just enjoy the time they have and enjoy their summer flingy-ding.
Yes.
Yes.
Nora's still trying to figure out what Libby's been hiding. And when Brendan, her husband, comes to Sunshine Falls with their two girls for the last week of their summer holiday, Nora learns they've bought a house and they'll be moving to Sunshine Falls.
Well, Nora feels like she's losing her sister and Charlie.
Yes, she does.
A man she's definitely falling in love with. So the month ends. Charlie suggests they're maybe kind of to try a long-distance relationship. But Nora never had luck with that, so she says no and heads back to New York. Now, in November, Libby and her family move to Sunshine Falls, and then in December, Nora runs into Charlie at a bookstore. He's moved back to New York.
Yes.
Libby's taken over the bookstore in Sunshine Falls, and his father is doing better.
Which is all good news.
Yes.
In the epilogue, 6 months later, they're back in Sunshine Falls for the release of Dusty's book, the one they worked on together. Libby and her family are there, Dusty's there, and it's hinted that Charlie might be asking Nora to marry him.
I loved how that party could have been a celebration for so many reasons and so many things, didn't you?
I did. I loved it.
Yeah. There's lots of people there, and they did have a reason to celebrate.
Yeah, so many, yeah. And I like how she just kind of... Yeah. This person is doing this, and this person has this, and this person right. is, yeah.
Such a Hallmark movie.
It was a Hallmark movie, I guess. Yeah. It was a fun read, and there were some fun characters. Yeah.
It was fun and easy to read. So which character did you focus on?
Well, I went back and forth a bit between Nora and Libby. You and I talked about that, right?
Yeah.
But then I had to pick Nora. I had to. Pretty much, because Nora was living my dream life.
I could have called that.
She's in the city. She works in publishing. I would actually want to be an editor, not a literary agent, but she got that job eventually.
Which was her dream job.
Yes.
But she'd given it up way back earlier, like in her career, to take care of her sister after mm-hmm. the mom died.
Yeah.
Their father has never been in the picture. I mean, I had a lot of respect for her doing that.
Yeah, for just kind of dropping everything.
Yeah.
Doing what she needed to do. Now, she was kind of labeled an ice queen. Mm-hmm. I guess not kind of. She was labeled an ice queen, wasn't she? And as Charlie informs her, she's called the shark. Right? But I didn't find Nora to be self-serving. It was more of self-preserving.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought in the beginning she was a little selfish, but I didn't feel that way for long.
Yeah. Now, physically, Nora is a beauty.
Oh, she was.
She's tall, 5'11", platinum blonde hair, thin, she's in shape. As the novel says, in a Hallmark movie or romance novel, she's the woman that's left behind when the guy finds a sweet little lady in the small town he's going to close a big deal and he ends up staying. Yeah, right? Yeah. She's the one left in the city. Now, she has no trouble getting a guy, but the relationships always fizzle out. But Nora just, I don't think she's met her match yet. And that's what she needs, a guy who isn't afraid to take her on.
Oh, she was so guarded in the novel.
She was. Yeah. She was very guarded. She's been in love once,
mm-hmm.
right? But when her mother died and she had to go back home, the boyfriend left her for a girl in the country or something, right?
Right,
and broke her heart, and she never wanted to have that feeling again.
And she never cried.
Never.
Never. She didn't even cry at her mom's funeral. I mean, not. She didn't cry when she was dumped. And I think she just was kind of waiting for the tears to come.
Yeah. You got that feeling.
Yeah. And they never did. But I think a good cry earlier in her life might have changed her path.
Then we wouldn't have this great read. I'm not a big crier either. I don't hardly.
Oh, I'm a huge crier.
I'm not. Even Ruffino's like, does anything make you cry? Not movies, not a book. Actually, a book is about it. But Nora really, she knew how to take care of people. She would do anything for her sister, Libby. And she knew how to compartmentalize. Nora did, like, just lock the.
Oh, she was very good at that. But I think that made it easier for her to sort of maybe, like, bury her feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Bury her wants, bury her needs.
Yeah, I agree with that. She was so good at making sure Libby was taken care of, that her clients were taken care of. And it's not that she didn't take care of herself, because physically, she did a great job. She had, what, her like 32-step skincare routine or something?
Right.
But emotionally?
Well, she was the ice queen.
Yeah.
She was the ice queen. I loved her sense of humor. She was quick-witted like me. That's where I connected with Nora.
Yeah. I connected with her too, but not because of that. You know I'm not quick-witted. But what's so interesting, because when you really think about it, Nora, she actually didn't really connect with people except for her sister and her nieces. It was safe for her if she kept – she liked to keep people at arm's length, wouldn't
yes,
you say?
Yes.
Because then she can't be hurt.
But then along comes Charlie.
Along comes Charlie. Now, she and Charlie have had some professional contact over the 2 years since their first disastrous meeting. But that's it. And I think it's just like text and email. I think yeah, it's all.
I'm sure.
He's good looking, but, you know, he's not a stop you in your tracks, mouth falling open handsome.
Didn't say that either. Not, yeah. That's not how he was described. No. Yep.
Nora is very shocked to see him in Sunshine Falls, and her first thought is she doesn't want him to think she's stalking him.
Well, that would be my first thought, too.
Well, I was just like, why would he think that? And then you get a little bit more of the backstory.
Well, and that whole scene was in the coffee shop, and it was just funny.
It was.
Her you texting can picture him, it,
right, in
trying
the corner.
To figure out if it was really him, hearing yeah. the ding.
Is he in? Ding, 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 ding. While she's hiding in a bookshelf. And then somehow the conversation just segues into Bigfoot erotic books.
Which is a very niche genre.
I would think so. I would think so.
But it is what starts to bring them together.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Charlie can match Nora's snark, and she likes it.
And he's not afraid of her height either.
He's not afraid of her, period. Right? Now, Libby, in her checklist for the month, wanted Nora to date a small-town guy. But what Nora realizes is that while she's been looking for a guy who's different for her, what she really needed was pretty much a male version of herself.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when she starts to open her heart to Charlie, I mean, to the possibility of her and Charlie, she seems to really start to feel and to live.
I also think that's when she started to realize she doesn't have to fix or take care of Libby all right. the time. I mean, Libby has her own life to live, and Nora does as well. She was able to kind of move forward, you know, take that dream job, live in different states, and still be close to Libby.
Exactly. Nora has felt responsible to make things perfect for Libby ever since their mom died. But Libby kind of wanted to do the same for Nora, actually.
Well, Nora did kind of smother Libby. I mean, I felt like she did.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way as well. Yeah. Like she was still a little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Charlie helped Nora live.
Yeah.
And what I liked was that even when they were separated, you know, she went back to New York and it looked like they might not end up together,
mm-hmm.
Nora was still changed.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't living as tightly closed off as before, I don't think.
No, no, yeah. no.
So I was super happy when Charlie showed up at the bookstore. I was just like, yes. And also, Nora learned she didn't need to become some meek little, you know, soft-spoken flower mm-hmm. to get her guy.
Yes.
She could be tough. She could be successful. And she could be snarky. And she could still snag him.
Well, all she needed was a guy who could take what she dished out. And he dished it right back. I loved their back-and-forth banter.
I did, too. And so did she. It was one of the things that really continued to draw her to Charlie, yes. for sure. Like, she would be checking her phone. Mm-hmm. Does he have a comeback?
Mm-hmm.
She loved their banter. He was smart. Charlie was smart.
Now, this novel would have fits so well into our tropey love story season. Was it? That was four, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Season four.
Ugh.
Yeah, it would have. That would have been, this would have been super fun.
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
Now, who did you focus on?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and stick with my bad guy. I'm going to go with Blake.
The blind date guy?
The blind date guy.
Interesting. No Charlie?
Well, I was strongly considering him, but I changed my mind when I went back to recap. I mean, I was thinking, like, I had Donati.
Yeah.
I had Rodney. I had Little Man. And now I have boorish Blake.
He was.
He was so much more than a boar, though. He was horrible.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. But he was everything that Charlie wasn't. And after not liking Charlie in the beginning and then loving him at the end, I mean, we needed a Blake to get there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He was just so disrespectful. And he was definitely not like Charlie. He was an insecure, short man.
He was. So thanks to Libby and her checklist, Nora ends up on a date with Blake.
I have to say, Nora was a pretty good sport, and that really proved how much she would do to make her sister happy.
Oh, it really did.
I would not do that.
I would have if I wasn't married.
No, I would not let my sister set me up on a blind date.
It'd be a challenge.
Challenge. Sorry.
Now, you know, Blake, he just reminded me of the stereotypical small town person who's really set in his ways and not willing to explore the outside situation.
Well, he did go on a date with Nora.
Because she was hot.
Well, probably true.
And Libby filled out the dating profile, so who knows what right. all she put in there to entice him. Now, Blake appeared in the novel to be good looking. He was described as good looking.
Yeah.
I mean, he was attractive. He wore plaid.
And a lovely down vest, don't forget. Oh,
well, I was getting to that.
Sorry.
So he had this, like, chocolatey hair, and he had gray eyes. I mean, that sounds kind of dreamy.
It does. Just, I agree.
He sounded lovely, if that even could be a word for a man.
He, appearance-wise, he did sound lovely.
Yeah. His character, though, That's where it ended.
That's
what, I mean, at age,
that's where it fell apart.
Especially for a 36-year-old.
Yeah.
He was so lacking. Ugh. First, he lied about his height and said he was 6'1".
Right.
And he wasn't a minute over 5'9". It kind of reminded me of Joshy, because Joshy's like 5'8", unless he stretches.
Yeah, like my dad. There were definitely red flags for me when he first saw Nora. I mean, just the things he told her, he actually, like, he questioned her, really. How tall are you? It makes you wonder what Libby put.
That was not cool.
It wasn't.
That was not cool at all. I didn't like that.
No.
Then he adds to his charm when he tells her he just wants someone to cook his meals, like his fish he caught.
I know. Oh.
Oh, so annoying. And then he wanted her to watch football with him on Saturdays.
Which I love football.
Oh, I do too. And I'm all about the Roll Tide. So, and we like Steelers on Sundays. But, you know, I could just never hang out with him. Plus, he was a night owl. And I'm usually in bed by 9. Oh. Unless I'm out with you and Rufino.
Well, me too. Unless we're out with you and Josh. Oh, I love me a good night's sleep.
Oh, delicious.
Delicious.
But, oh my God, wouldn't it be fun to go to a place called Papa Squat? And eat, like, yucky bar food. Just once.
That food sounded downright toxic. Oh, I do love me some greasy bar food, though.
It did. Joshy would probably have reflux, and I'd probably get diarrhea.
Oh, jeez.
But Blake must have been vertically challenged in his eyes, because the first thing he noticed about Nora was her height.
Right.
You know? I mean, I'm sure she was intimidating to him at 5'11", because apparently no short man wants to date someone who doesn't want to cook, isn't a model if the woman is going to be so tall.
Right.
And then drinks gin double-fisted. I about choked on my cookie.
You did. You better have some Prosecco. She did love her martinis, though. And dirty, just the way I like them.
So Blake was just, he was just so concerned about her feet, too.
I know.
That was, to me, that was so weird.
Maybe he had a foot fetish.
Maybe. I mean, there was a lot packed in the short character.
Just not height.
No, just not height. Now, I really knew Blake was going to be my character pick when I remembered what a bully he was in high school. When Charlie was telling Nora how Blake put Charlie's books in the toilet.
Oh, I know.
I know. But we don't have to feel bad for that, because Nora ditched Blake and he moved on to a 4'10" hostess before Nora's seat was even cold.
And even though, like, how Charlie, you know, how he helped sneak Nora out so she wouldn't have to cross paths with Blake on the way out, he wasn't above ribbing her about the date.
No, he really wasn't. I mean, I was going to pick Charlie and have a side discussion about Blake because of that. But Charlie liked to get his dig on the Blake situation all the way to the end of the book.
He did.
I mean, I think Charlie was a little jealous at first. He kind of came across a little jealous
to me. He did. Yeah, exactly.
And then ended up just kind of playing around, reminding Nora of her date night gone wrong. And then getting saved by her knight in shining armor, Charlie.
Yes.
Yes. Even though we only meet Blake once and don't learn a whole lot about him, we learn enough. At least I learned enough.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all know, or we all have known, a Blake. And I can fill in the holes.
Yeah. And if you were also, if you were in a situation like Nora right. with a Blake and didn't have the guts to walk away.
Right.
You could live vicariously through her boldness.
Learn her tricks for the next time. Right?
Exactly.
Now, I think the author used Blake to sort of provoke Charlie to act.
Right. Because they
actually just kind of push him, move him.
Because they had a date after that at the Italian restaurant,
yes,
didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I think she just kind of wanted to move Charlie's character to start breaking down the walls, because his were as high as Nora's.
Yes.
Yeah. And I always love a good moral message with my bad boys. So I know our listeners are waiting for the moral message.
I'm waiting.
So when they go low, don't go high. Get the waitress to measure you back to back. And then steal his wallet. It was just kind of a little fun play off on the author's writing, because she put that in there. That was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, she wrote my moral message for me.
She did. But, you know, the wallet was probably empty.
Yeah.
All right, let's answer a couple book club questions.
Yeah, Blake sounded cheap. He was. I just picked up on what you said. Yeah. So cheap. Yeah, let's get to the book club question.
And speaking of empty, we were having too much empty space in our other episodes this season while we tried to think of... We wanted to spring these book club questions on each other. Amy did a great job of cutting that stuff out. But yeah, we thought we would just...
They weren't 5-hour podcasts, but no, there was a lot of bumbling right. and what, you know, kind of questioning and...
Yeah, just like, oh, let me think.
We had to come a little more prepared. Yeah.
So this time around, we have each seen the other's questions, mm-hmm. and we're both ready, I think.
And I hope.
For editing purposes, yes, right?
Yes. Now, I wasn't really a fan of the book club questions for this one. And I think there was a couple different types of book club questions from different groups. But I did the Penguin Random House questions. But I thought this one was interesting. And so mine was, have you ever felt like different places brought out different parts of you? You and I have moved a lot as military wives, and I wonder if you've ever felt like you had to reinvent yourself with each move in each new place.
That's a great question.
I mean, and I mean that very broadly, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I was glad I got first, so I could be ready. And I've never thought of the moves in that way. I never have, like the military moves. But I did approach them as a new adventure and a new opportunity to try new things and meet new people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as much as I get stressed and I just absolutely hate the actual moving part, like, yes, you know, the packing, the unpacking, and then getting resettled.
Yes.
I mean, I have so much enjoyed and look forward to the opportunity to make more new friends, new restaurants,
new stuff to do. All of that. Yes. Because it is quite stressful. Moving is one of the top five stressful things I think you can do in life, actually. But your mindset can totally help.
Oh, totally.
So,
and we're pros at it now.
Oh, I know.
I had no problem here other than it took us forever and a day to get settled because it was our last move.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem doing it. I just don't enjoy, I don't enjoy that part. But to answer your question, I wouldn't say I have like a complete personality change. And I know that's not what you were getting at.
No.
But I definitely changed with each move. And I think that's exactly what Nora did with her month in Sunshine Falls. The essence of her core stayed the same, but she learned about herself. She learned about her sister. She learned about Charlie, and she grew. So I'd like to think I grow. Like the move to Tennessee, I discovered yoga. Where we met. And so yoga is something I still do today. Moves to Europe, just seeing the other cultures. Like living there has made me more of a day-to-day food shopper when I like, you know how I like to plan stuff 2 weeks in advance. So yeah, I think those parts of us are there. And when we get a change of scenery, it awakens different parts and we just continue to grow. What about you?
Well, I think we evolve as people, you know, as women.
I hope so.
Right. Yeah. We adjust when life throws us off of what we think is our course, right? Now, because most of us have had big-eyed plans on how we want to live our life, especially after like high school or college.
Yeah. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this job.
All right. And then things don't always go as planned.
Definitely had some detours on my route, and I'm not mad about any of them.
Oh, exactly. I've had a wonderful life so far.
Yeah, you're not done yet.
Right. And I've had so many just exceptional experiences. I mean, I loved education. I loved teaching. I loved being a background investigator. Tons of stories there.
Oh, I'm sure.
I loved being a fitness trainer. I loved working in the pharmacy. I loved working in the culinary industry.
Is there something you haven't done?
I'm just trying to think if there's anything
else. Now you're running a business.
Right. But, you know, there's different, you know, different places have brought out different opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how I see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, to explore these different parts of me. And now that we're almost retired, I can take all these things I've done in the past, all those parts of me, and then add them to the new parts I'm still discovering.
I mean, growth and change, they are so essential to finding happiness in life.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it keeps you engaged. I mean, I'm not just going to sit in my house and just wait for somebody to call on me. I'm going to get out there and do
I
and
know,
go.
Yeah.
I love my new part-time job, my like little cabbie side hustle. I mean, I've always been into fashion, always, even since I was a little girl. My mom told me, and she tells me this all the time. I think she might be forgetting that she tells me this, but whatever. But she used to tell me that I always was into the latest and the greatest trends, even when I was small. I was a chubby little girl.
You like, were not.
No, as a toddler. And
really?
Just, oh, yeah. I just had this cute little round fat face. And like I had a belly. And like I wanted to wear these one-piece dresses that like button down, where that the center around the belly just gapped at the waist. And my mom's like, that just doesn't look good. But, you know, I wore them and my mom didn't care. I didn't care. You know, it was the latest and the greatest fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
I just wanted to be in style.
You did.
Yeah. So I'd say the new place has brought out my fashion part.
Yeah. You've got to get to have fun with that.
Yeah. But in a way where I'm not just like enjoying it for myself. I'm not being selfish with my fashion. I am
definitely not
bringing it to the other's enjoyment. And you should see my friend Wendy. She is dressed to a hilt.
I am.
Mm-hmm. And I can't forget this podcast. I mean, us, like right now, we're back in the same zip code again.
Well, we were in the same zip code and now you moved again, but we were able to start it in the same zip code.
But it has allowed me to pull my education part of discussing back into the books. And then I can, now that I'm not teaching, I can add my not so PG part of me.
Which you don't hesitate to do.
Yeah, some of the antics I have here in the podcast, I
would can't do in the classroom.
Never do in the classroom. Exactly. No, I'd be reported.
Someone might be still reporting you, but
I'm sorry I took that long to get to the point, but yeah.
That's all right.
It was a book club question.
Yeah.
So, bottom line. We've got different places, different parts, all those different physical places in my life and parts of me that came out here and there have put me where I am now, you know, just living my best life.
1000% agree. We got a bit philosophical on that one.
Well, one of us did, yeah. I always do. That's books for you. What's your question?
Okay. Would you rather spend a month in Sunshine Falls or in Nora's New York life and why? And I want to tell you, I liked this one because I genuinely don't know how you're going to answer and I'm curious. So which is it? Quaint little town or big city?
Well,
you get one month.
I wanted this question and you said you got to me first and said that
was
yours.
I was ahead of the game
so
this time.
So I had to pick the other one. Anyways, so if it's just for a month, I want to go to Sunshine Falls, wouldn't you?
I don't think so.
Really? City girl?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to just step outside?
I've been
of
to
your
a small
box?
Town my whole life. No.
I mean, I love small towns, and a month there would be so fun. I could so chill out.
Do you know how to chill out? Like, I mean, really chill out.
Do I know how to chill out?
Yes,
of course
I'm asking
I do.
You.
I mean, you've seen me after an epic run. Well, not like a physical run like you do. I've only done a half marathon twice, and I'm never doing it again. But kind of like a podcast recording run or a cabbie fashion show run. I hit the couch and I'm passed out. That's chilling.
That's not chilling, Amy. That's sleeping.
That's chilling out to me.
All right. You're entitled to that.
But think about that bookstore. You know, that would have been a part of my daily walk.
Yes, it would have.
Yeah, I would have joggled over there. I wouldn't have run. I'd just kind of joggle over there. I could spend hours in there, especially now that it's in better shape thanks to Libby and her list.
Did it drive you nuts when they walked in and said how the bookstore was organized?
Yeah.
Nothing was like in any sort of order.
And did you not just love all the hysterical punny names
they
of
were
that
funny.
Town? Oh my God. So Papa Squat.
I don't think I could Papa Squat right now. I'm sore.
Wait till you get on that plane today.
Oh, I'm
and then what
sleep.
About the hair salon? Curl Up and Die. So good. And good books.
Good books,
and
yeah.
And then the spa.
Yeah, like she was trying to figure out how to say that too. Like, is it a horror movie or an orgasm? Right? Isn't that what she said?
And then we have Mug and Shot.
Yes. I thought that was a good
one.
Yeah.
What about the town meeting? I mean, all the names that didn't actually make the cut to these businesses.
Do you remember any of those?
Let me think. So something was like Bean to Be Wild. I think it was a coffee place.
Yeah,
maybe?
like Coffee Bean. Yeah.
Yeah. And some like a hot.
Oh, I do remember that one. Yeah. I liked that one actually.
Me too. Wasn't that funny? Anyway. So since you said you didn't even want to spend just a month in Sunshine Falls, I guess you want to spend your month in Nora's New York life.
I do. Mm. And to be honest, I did go back
you
and
that
forth.
Life.
I know. And I love it. And I almost never want to leave it. I did kind of go back and forth for like 5 seconds, but like I already said, Nora's living my dream life, and I'd have to take that option. So yes, New York City for me, and because I secretly, no, not so secretly, want Nora's life.
Her life was a little too fast for me.
And Sunshine Falls was a little too slow for me. What else, Amy? Any final things to add, do I dare ask?
Well, this one would have been so good for our tropey love romance story season. I said that before, but don't you think?
I know, we keep coming back to that. Yeah, I just think it would have been so fun to discuss this one from the angle that we took that season.
Yeah. Maybe a redo.
No, I don't reread, remember?
Now, guys, we are not getting into themes this season, but Wendy, don't you think sisterhood would have been a great theme to discuss?
Yes.
I mean, so if there's like any book clubs out there that like to focus on themes, discuss sisterhood.
Yeah, I think we could have talked a lot about that.
Well, you and I can talk a lot about anything.
That's true. We can. Mm-hmm. And about nothing, too. Every once in a while, we might make some sense while we do it.
Yeah.
Whether it's anything or nothing. And I love the whole list thing. You and I are big, big list makers.
Oh, we are list makers.
Yes.
And thankfully, one of us, I'm talking you, makes our lists in places where we can go back and remember our plans. I mean, I'm always asking you, what's next?
I think it's so funny. I called Amy up one time, guys. I'm like, we wrote down all this stuff. Do you have it? And she's like, which notebook did I put it in?
I know. It was in my big fun planner now.
She's very excellent at making lists, but they're in all kinds of notebooks. But, you know, honestly, don't sell yourself short because you are super organized this season. And I've come to you on more than one occasion for what's next on the plan.
Well, I just had to do it with the new cabbie business.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was losing my mind. I mean, I have to make a plan because I am just... I'm so short on time for everything, and I get sucked into these rabbit holes.
You and me both. I think you just do a much better job of sticking to your plan.
Oh, I have to.
I know where my plan is, but I can find it, but I don't always stick to it.
She just wants to cuddle up on the couch and read a book.
I do. But Libby knew her sister was big into lists, and I think she also knew her sister would do anything for her. So I saw the list as a compromise for both of them.
Yeah. Well, maybe Libby knew she needed to give her workaholic sister something to fill her time while they were there, you know, in Sunshine Falls, because Libby had her own secret things she had to get done.
She did.
You know, by moving there, and she needed Nora busy.
Yeah, buying a house is a big deal.
Yes.
And Libby also knew Nora needed a break from work. She needed something else to focus on, so Libby was going to give that to her.
And she knew her sister.
Oh, she knew her.
Yeah, she knew her so well. So Libby needed Nora to, like, fall in love with a small town. And, I mean, even if it was just a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I think she knew she couldn't get Nora to move there.
Well, and she wanted Nora to be happy for her, Libby.
Yeah, for Libby, yeah.
You know, when she dropped the news that her family was going to move to Sunshine Falls.
Yeah, because Nora will, I mean, she's always going to be a city girl.
You're not going to take that out of her.
No.
No.
But she was able to find the charm and understand her sister better and her motivations for moving.
So you would have found the charm in Sunshine Falls.
I would have found the charm.
If I was there, you come and visit,
well,
and we
yes.
would have found the charm.
If I have my Amy there, of course.
Well, and the lists help the sisters not only reconnect, but reconnect to their kind of like their childhood and to the place, you know, where they had joy together.
Right.
Yeah. So Nora kind of found a part of herself.
Yeah, I think she did.
Yeah. So can we please talk about Sunshine Falls?
Haven't we?
Well, we have. But, you know, I was... gonna tell you, I almost chose Sunshine Falls as my character.
You should have. That would have been a great discussion.
My gosh,
and we never said our character pick had to be human.
Right. And we've discussed like the Dutch house as a character, but I would have taken it down too many different rabbit holes and we would have still been at the beginning.
I mean,
of the
your
podcast.
Character had one scene and you still like
came. Oh yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. But now Sunshine Falls was fictional. I looked it up and it was fictional, but it felt like it could represent any town, you know, the small town USA. And, you know, it just kind of made me think, maybe you have a small town USA location you can recall growing up, Wendy. I mean, do you know a small town? Maybe one you can remember that like evoked similar feelings as Sunshine Falls? Like what town, if any, were you brought back to when reading about Sunshine Falls and the things you might remember? Oh, she's looking at me like, what the heck are you? Where are you going with this?
I have no idea. I was always just looking out, waiting for the chance to get to the city. I mean, I don't think, to be honest, I really appreciated small town charm, but I'm guessing you have one. You have a small town.
I do.
Okay.
I'm just salivating right now.
Go.
So there is this place in just outside of Great Falls, Montana, where I grew up. It's called Belt, Montana. Oh, I have so many memories. I love this place. It's on the east side of my hometown of Great Falls. And so if I was driving from Great Falls going to visit you in North Dakota, I'd have to pass through Belt to travel to see you. So I used to get in so much trouble going there with my best friend, Pam.
Oh, I'm not shocked.
I mean, she always made me late getting home. It was like 20 miles away. I mean, then I get grounded.
So what did you, besides getting in trouble, what did you love about it?
Oh my gosh, what didn't I love? I'll give you, how about three things?
Okay.
Okay. So let me think. The best thing was the Belt Rodeo. Oh, it was so fun.
You know.
The Belt Rodeo.
You might be shocked, but I liked going to rodeos.
Of course you did. You're from North Dakota.
I just don't know that I'd enjoy it as much now, to be honest.
It was a professional rodeo, PRCA rodeo. I mean, they had...
I went to those. Well, go ahead.
Okay. Anyways, they had barrel racing. They had, let me think, they had
the calf roping. Yep.
Cowboy boots and hats, wranglers, music, even the cowboy stench. It was just so fun.
You actually took me right back. I always wanted to go to the rodeo, though, to chase the boys.
Oh, me too. That's what I did with Pam.
Of course you did.
I mean, cowboys were always better than the Montana commoners, like the football players and just the, you know, I played in the orchestra. I was a fiddler, so better than the orchestra. I never liked any orchestra, guys. What am I talking about?
I was going to say, I'm anyway, sure
so
you did.
Let me tell you the next thing before okay. I forget. So it has to do with the rodeo,
okay.
But there was this like this Friday night thing before the Belt Rodeo started. We used to go to this place called the East Side Bar, and I was like 16. Oh, because I knew in my mind I was like 25 years old. I looked like 25 years old, especially after Pam got done with me. She was such a great old person maker.
So did you get in? You must have got
in. Yeah, yeah. And I loved their fried mushrooms. I can still taste them. The gentleman there was so cute too, those cowboys. They were all drunk, so they couldn't even tell that I was 16.
They probably didn't care.
But just again, that greasy bar food, kind of just like Papa Squat.
Oh my. So we lived very different lives.
We did. So I'll tell you one more thing and then we got to shut this podcast down. So there was this place called Sluice Box State Park, and I can still see it. I mean, it's down in a coulee. There was a creek in there, and then there were these epically tall rock cliffs in the canyon.
It sounds beautiful.
Oh, it was absolutely gorgeous. But it was a fun place to have a high school kegger. So
course.
I got my Chevy, and it was this long car that a businessman would drive. My dad put me in this big, huge car.
He was trying to like repel people. Yeah,
keep you safe. Or maybe keep me safe. Yeah. But it got stuck on a berm. It was like, you know, those dikes that they put around places.
Yeah.
So it was really wide in the beginning. So I thought I was going to drive on it so I didn't have to walk too far.
Yeah. And then your wheels hang on the edge, right?
And then, no, it got narrower. So my wheels hung off the berm.
So you're laying on the, I know about that.
Oh my God. I was so afraid. I thought, how am I going to explain?
Because your wheels just spin. Yeah.
So all the big commoners, football players or whatever, or some of them were, I mean, because we used to party with the Belt kids too. Just big old boys. They had to lift my car up to get me out of there. And I had to get home before my midnight curfew. So all in all, did I stir up any memories for you? Come on, you have to have something.
You did, but Sunshine Falls didn't. All right, how did this book? I don't have stories that
she's
good.
Red. So. She's.
I remember rodeos and getting like I know how to get a car stuck up. Yeah. All right, how did this book rate for you?
Okay, so compared to our first three reads, and I know I shouldn't compare, but I mean it was like a 3-star read for me, maybe 3 point something. But don't come at me, guys. I mean, the writing was fantastic.
Fantastic.
I love her writing style. She is such a good writer. There were so many laughs, but I don't know what I was expecting. I didn't think it was going to be like a beach read or a book that someone lends you after, you know, they've read it and said, oh, this is great. So it just didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, it was, I mean, you and I.
Now I think I like it more after we've discussed it.
I know, but you and I aren't really into romance reads.
No.
Like, even when we did the romance season,
yeah,
we were
like. That was a struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not our thing.
No.
I mean, no. And people have their genre that they like.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm not saying I'm not going to read more from this author because I will. I will. Now that I know what her reading style is. So, I mean, we go to the beach every year or, I mean, we live.
She's got the perfect light read to.
Absolutely. Yeah. I will definitely be reading this author again. But it just wasn't as deep as I like it. You?
Yeah, it was definitely a different turn from the first three, but I did like it. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 stars. And
okay.
It might be because I also loved Nora and her awesome life so much.
Yes.
All right. Kiss, kill, marry.
Okay. So this was easy for me. I'd kiss Shepherd, the little date. I'd kill the other little date, Blake. And then I'd marry Charlie.
100% agree. That's
same for you?
Yeah. That's exactly what I do as well. Guess we might have a battle on our hands if we end up in Sunshine Falls.
Well, you're not going, so I guess I win.
Well, I might go if it means I can steal Charlie from you.
Steal Charlie. We'll do a Prosecco battle for him. May the best bottle win.
Oh, my goodness.
And speaking of thoughts on this one, the Capisado Prosecco.
Well?
Let me give it another little tasty-wasty.
This was a 3.7, I think, right? Mm-hmm. I like this one. It is lemony.
Yeah.
I like that it's not too fizzy.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it, I might have to give it a 3.8 because I do actually like it better than last episode. Yeah. What about you?
I like it. It's not heavy.
It's not heavy.
I said last one was reminded me of mead.
Yeah.
And this does not. I like the lightness, the citrusness. It was great with a cookie.
It was really good with a cookie.
I think I'm just going to stick with it and say 3.7.
3.7?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's all she wrote. I think we're good.
At least for this episode.
At least so.
Be sure to join us next month on the first Wednesday for The Measure by Nikki Ehrlich, paired with Giusti Assolo Prosecco.
Cheers.
Thanks again for joining us for an episode of Prosecco and Prose.
To view the complete show notes for today's episode, visit proseccoandprose.buzzsprout.com.
Please follow and subscribe. It's free wherever you listen.
And you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
You can even show your support by leaving us a rating and review, which helps other lit lovers discover our show.
And feel free to connect with us on any of our social media. I'm Wendy.
And I'm Amy, signing off as our bottle of bubbly is now empty.
So until next time,
pop a cork and read.